for the gifts of music and for the choir for leading us through that. Our scripture this morning is from Mark chapter 13. You're looking at verses 28 through 37. Mark 13, beginning at verse 28. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Keep awake. For you do not know when the time will come. It's like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work and commands. He commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. What I say to you, I say to all. Stay awake. Can I ask the young children to come up front, please? Are you awake now?
Yes.
Smarty candy cane. Doesn't get better than that, does it? No. Did you hear our passage today? What did Jesus tell you had to do?
Stay awake.
Stay awake. Good thing you were listening. Another part of what he says there is stay alert. Do you know what it means to be alert? It means, to be on the lookout, to listen carefully, and to obey. Are you good at that?
Yes.
I don't know about that. Do you remember a few weeks ago we played Simon Says? How many of you listened perfectly? No one. Should we try again?
Yeah.
Okay, now stay alert means listen to what Simon says. Don't pay attention to what anyone else does. Or anyone else says, right? Just what Simon says. You got that understanding? Okay, stand in a line right in front of me here so I can see everybody at once. Okay, put up your hand. Anna, are you the only one who was paying attention and stayed alert? Did you put up your hand? I didn't see it. No, I don't think she did. Do you want to try again? Okay, Simon says put up your hand. Put it down. Simon didn't tell you to put it down, did he? Put it back up, Elam. Okay, Simon says put it down. Put it over here. Oh, boy. Simon says stand on one foot. This is where you have to be. Oh, there goes one down. See, I'm doing just on one foot just fine. What's your problem? Okay, let's sit down again. It's not easy to listen, is it? And Jesus... you can... Game's over. Anna, you get two. She's the only one who didn't put her hand up the first time. Do you deserve a candy cane? No, you don't. No. Do any of us deserve God's blessings? No, we don't. Who earned his blessings for you? Jesus did. Did Jesus die in our place to satisfy God's wrath at our sin? Did Jesus give us his obedience? Did he listen perfectly? Are all Jesus' instructions easy to follow? No. Like if you had to stand on your foot for half an hour, just one foot for half an hour, would you last? Or would you all fall down eventually? All fall down. And when I said put up your hand and you saw somebody else do it, you immediately did it, didn't you? Do we live in a world where many people don't listen to Jesus? Yes. That's why staying alert is very hard, but also very important. You think you can learn better about how to do that? Does Jesus love you even if you're not perfect? Should I give you a candy cane anyhow? Come help yourselves. They're all the same. It doesn't matter. Just take one. Now let's go back to our seats or to children's church, okay? Lord, even now, help us to stay alert, to listen to your word. Give us your spirit that we would have ears to hear, that we would give to have hearts to follow, that we would give heed to all that you say and all you would have us be and do. For your name's sake, it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is the week we have chosen to go and visit our daughter in the far north. We're not the brightest of people, but we love our daughter. And our schedules were such that in November and the early part of December, when it would make sense to drive north, we just weren't free enough to do it. And of course, tomorrow evening, a snow and ice storm is passing right by where we're going to be. Normally, I have on my weather thing what's going on in the north, and I once in a while look at it. This week, I will pay incredible attention to it because I don't want to get stuck in the middle of nowhere in an ice storm with people who don't know how to drive in ice storms. Or people who do, because ice doesn't respect those who have abilities. In fact, there was something on the internet yesterday where an 18-wheeler was just minding its own business, hit a patch of ice, and was facing the wrong way a few seconds later. See, this warning to stay alert is in times of danger and trouble and toil. Jesus has been speaking about the coming judgment. The primary focus of all of chapter 13 is on the destruction of the temple. But woven through that warning about the temple, Jesus is condensing history and weaving into there the final judgment, his return. And he wants us to understand all of that time between his leaving and his coming back are times of trouble and danger, where the world is not listening to him. The world that we live in is not listening to him. And it's so easy to fall in step with them, to think, oh, we've got plenty of time. But Jesus' constant instruction here is stay alert, stay awake. Because these times of trial and tribulation and opposition are all around you. Remember, as this passage is unfolding here, it's the week of Passover. It's when we celebrate Easter. You know, spring. And Jesus begins here by pointing to the fig trees, not like he did last time, but the fig trees have become supple once again. Their leaves have broken out. It is the sign that not long after, they will begin to produce harvest, fresh fruit. And not just them, but all things. Here comes the Lord's provision. They know how to read that sign. And just like you pay attention to those things, Jesus wants us to pay attention to the world around us, particularly to the signs of judgment as they're unfolding. Think about it. He's talked here about natural disasters. How often do they happen? Now that we have worldwide information, quite a bit. How often do people, selfish, foolish people, take matters into their own hands and start shooting one another? That's a sign of God removing his mercy and grace and of judgment coming. All these things are a reminder that we all one day soon will have to stand before the Lord in judgment. Every time a loved one dies, we have a service, not for their sake, but for ours. That too is a reminder, judgment is coming. And yet so often we think, well, but not today. Today I can do as I please. Tomorrow I'll repent and get my life straight and not worry about it. There's still plenty of time. Jesus says that's not the case. He tells them right here very clearly that destruction of the temple, that place that the Jews held dear, of Jerusalem itself that they thought was God's holy place, it would, in their lifetime, be gone, taken away. And we know from history, at 70 AD, that exact event happened. And remember, this is in the context of that parable. The Father has sent his servants, the prophets. They didn't listen. In fact, they beat them and threw them out. Now the Father has sent his Son. And we know, because we've read ahead, that the next chapters are about the murder of that son. And yet they go on as if they had done anything wrong, as if judgment is not coming. Jesus is making clear here, because they are about to put the son to the death, they should have great fear of that judgment. Verse 31 just makes it more emphatic. Heaven and earth will pass away. That's hard to imagine, but his words will not. So listen, take heed. All that Jesus said, all that Jesus promised will take place. His word is true. His word is sure. Listen to him before it is too late. That covers both the coming of judgment, that Jesus has been very clear. Not one stone will be left upon another in that temple. As they looked at that temple, they could not imagine that being possible, much less happening. But that's exactly what happened. But these words about judgment are only part of it. Jesus' words about redemption, about salvation, about himself as Savior are also true. And before that judgment comes, flee to him and cling to him. Yes, there'll be many false teachers. Don't be distracted by them. Don't follow them. They cannot deliver what is promised. The reality is, out of the great many who heard Jesus' words, very few listened. Very few obeyed. And when that judgment came, about a million of them died. Horrible deaths. Some at the hands of the Romans, some at the hands of one another as they were starving to death. That judgment was a horrible, terrible thing. And even as Mark is writing this letter, that's about to unfold. And for Christ's people in Rome, it has been unfolding. And so the question becomes more pointed. Are you listening? Will you obey? That's Jesus' point. Because as he continues here, he makes clear, no one knows the time. He is now pointing to the full and final judgment. Not just the judgment on Israel. That was just another warning along the way. In verses 32 through 37, he makes clear there is a greater judgment coming, of which the one on Israel will pale in comparison. And no one knows, not the angels in heaven, not even the Son. Only the Father knows the time. That's an amazing thing. The Father and the Son, throughout Mark and through all the Gospels, have been completely united in all they do. But here's Jesus saying, this one thing, I don't know. Only the Father knows. The Son remains ignorant, and yet trusts the Father's perfect timing and the perfect plan. And that warning here needs to be understood on two levels. One, it's true individually. We don't know our time. We don't know what kind of health issue may be ticking away inside of us. We don't know what kind of drunk driver or crazy, incompetent driver is waiting for us out on the highway. Who knows? Maybe one of those meteors may actually hit where you're standing someday soon. You don't know. And it's the height of arrogance to think that you do. But even worse, it's the height of foolishness. That's what Jesus is warning us about. And it's not just true individually, it's even more true corporately. For the church, for our nation, for this world. We do not know the time. History has shown us churches come and go, nations come and go. And the promise of God is this world as it now is going to go as well. Jesus paints a picture here, giving us an illustration of a master who goes away. He gives instructions to each servant about the work they're to do while he's away and what he expects them to accomplish. And then he finally commands the doorkeeper to stay awake so that when he comes, everything will be made ready. It's a not so gentle reminder. He's the master, not us. He is the one who goes away and yet who continues his work through us. Each one of us is given a task. Are we listening to him? Are we doing what he has for us to do? Will we be ready to stand before him on the day of judgment and say, here, Master, here's what you gave, here's what I did with it? Because there's no warning of when he will return. To put off the task till tomorrow is not only wrong, but dangerous. The Master may return at any time. You know, Lynn travels for a living, and often she gives me a call on her way home that she'll be home in such and such a time. I know it's then time to cancel the party and to clean the house and to get things ready. Someday she's going to not tell me she's coming home and going to surprise me. Good thing I don't wait till the last second to clean up all the time. Part of what Jesus makes clear is he's going to come when we least expect it. There's a paradox here. He says, pay attention to all these signs. And yet, no, you're not going to recognize when I'm coming. How can that be? Well, most likely it's because we don't pay attention to all those signs. Or we misread them. In fact, I know we misread them because, did you see that first part there? No one knows the time. But in the 2,000 years since Jesus said that, guess how many people have said, I exactly know the time because I have read the scriptures and I understand what no one else has. And do you know how many times they've been wrong? Everyone. Because Jesus said, no one knows the time. And part of what that means to me is I'm thinking that when Jesus comes, no one will be saying, watch out, now is the time. And that's the point here. The Master doesn't want you paying attention to anyone else, particularly not all those false teachers who claim to have knowledge that they cannot have. And to be listening only to him. Part of what gets missed in this story, I think, is that too many have a perspective that the master's coming back to catch you doing the wrong thing. But the one who's coming back is the one who died for you. The one who's coming back is the one who loves you and has given himself for you. The one who's coming back is the joy of our hearts. When Lynn comes back, I don't want the house to be perfect so she has nothing to do. I want it because so that I can spend time and enjoy her. How much more so when our Savior comes back? When we get to celebrate and enjoy him. when we behold him in his glory and become like him. Part of the paradox, what we do in and of ourselves is always tainted by sin. The one we wait for is the one who removes that sin, who cleanses our feeble, frail gifts and makes them pleasing and good and perfect. The way that we are to wait for him is to keep asking him to give us more of his Spirit. More of his Spirit to guide us and to empower us and to give us wisdom, to grow us in his peace and his joy and his hope. Those are hard things to ask for. There's so many things to do, and it's so easy to get distracted and so easy to think, well, if he's coming, then he's going to bring everything, so what do I need to do? The church in Thessalonica did just that. Paul in 1 Thessalonians shared with this great and incredible hope that Jesus was coming again soon. Some portion of that church in Thessalonica said, great, we're on vacation then. Let's go just have a party until he gets back. Which caused Paul to have to write 2 Corinthians to say no. John Wesley presents a much better. He was once asked, if you knew Jesus was coming back tomorrow night, what would you do tomorrow? He pulled out his calendar and read off his schedule for the next day. And said, that's what I'd be doing. That's what Jesus expects you to be doing. But not pulling out your calendar and doing what you need. But Lord, what is it you would have me do? How is it you would have me serve you and glorify you? And if God's called you to dig a ditch and you know he's coming back tomorrow night, you better go make a really good ditch. Or a really good widget. Or a really good tax return that no one will ever see but him. Because he sees it all. That's what's at the heart of this. He is Lord. Are you listening to him and him alone, not to what everyone else is doing? And are you following him? You know, this whole chapter has been about listening and obeying. And there's two things in this chapter that seem to be in competition with one another. Jesus keeps saying, be on your guard, be alert, keep awake. But then he also implies, but be patient. It's not going to happen when you think it is. Those two things sort of want to fight with one another, don't they? You know, I once worked as a night guard for about 3 months. It's sort of fun to being a night guard from 8 o'clock at night to about midnight. It wasn't that bad. You could entertain yourself and keep walking around, even down to 2 o'clock, but somewhere around 3 o'clock in the morning. Staying alert is an incredibly hard thing to do. Jesus' calling here is to always be alert, to always be listening. And to be patient while you're doing it. And so we have to balance those two things. Keep those two things in tension. Again, it's like R.C. Sproul's old illustration of that rope that goes over a pulley through the ceiling. On one side, stay alert. On the other side, be patient. And as the floor falls away, if you only hold on to one side, you're going to plunge through that floor. But if you hold on to both things, stay alert and be patient. That will support you. And so be on guard. Stay awake. There are eternal things at stake. Eternal things being accomplished all the time, whether you see them or not. In fact, part of what Jesus is doing here is letting you in on a secret. The Christian life is a great adventure. A great adventure of drawing near to Jesus and receiving his peace, his joy, his hope, his eternity, and bringing it to bear on this broken, dark, fallen world. That is a challenge and an adventure of eternal proportions. being his ambassadors, being on guard and staying awake in a world that doesn't want you to do that. Listening to him and his word and his providence with the Spirit's help. So instead of getting in the way of that work, you have the high privilege of joining with him in that work as he directs you, as he provides for you. I would put you, there is nothing more fulfilling in this world than to join him with that great adventure. To believe, to know that he is bringing his peace, his joy, his hope, his eternity to bear on this world through you. Now again, you're not here to do that for the whole world. But if every one of his people is listening to him, Jesus is doing it for the whole world. And so our great calling is to stay awake, to be alert, to listen to him, his word, to listen by the Spirit's help to his providential leading. And as we do so, to be patient. That's not so easy, is it? To be patient with difficult circumstances. You know, part of that circumstance is Jesus calls you to be holy as he's holy. And we all long to be holy, but only if he could do it sort of like that. Instead of disciplining us one sin at a time. Instead of rebuking and calling us to repentance. Be patient. Ask for more of his work and trust that he's accomplishing it in his perfect timing. Again, we're all in a rush for him to come back because then life will be comfortable. We will be new, and all things will be new. You know, I've strained my knee about 3 weeks ago. And it's not healing as quick as it should. What should have been the day it happened? And no one's given me a magic pill yet for fixing knees. And I don't want to talk to a surgeon about fixing knees. Jesus coming back is a great hope. But it's in his timing, for his glory. Our comfort is not God's chief end. His glory and his saving the lost is his purpose. He's told us that. And so we're patient because we know he's about just that. Glorifying himself and calling to himself those who are not yet his. That all who are his might be ready for his return. And so trusting him means we're always alert, asking for the Spirit's help to recognize every opportunity, to be ready to make the most of those opportunities to glorify him and to bless others. Are you ready? Are you listening and obeying as you wait upon him? The judgment that fell on Jerusalem was small in comparison to the one that's coming. And again, his promise is clear. It will happen when it's least expected, coming like a thief in the night, which is why we need to heed these words so carefully. Stay awake. Be alert. Be patient. Not compromising with the world, but being about his work for his glory, moment by moment, until he comes. There are 17 imperatives in this chapter, the heart of which is, keep your eyes on Jesus. Listen to him, follow him. Don't get distracted, don't lose heart. Be faithful, be alert. Be ready, because he's coming again soon. Amen? Let's pray. Oh Lord, we can't do this on our own, so again, we would ask for more of your Spirit, that more and more we might be in tune with the Father's will, even as you were, listening and obeying, trusting you at your word, and following you with your Spirit's help. Strengthen and fill us Bless us with your love and help us to long for that return all the more. But as we long for that return, help us to be faithful, your ambassadors, showing forth your glory to a world yet in darkness. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, come. It's in your name we pray. Amen.